Joining me now via teleconferencing are the heads of the incident command for WeLog. It's sort of the new thing we're having to do now, as you saw part of the last hour due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Joining me is Aaron Reynolds, city manager, Chief Michael Schick with West Lane. Help me out, Chief.
You can just say fire department.
Fire department. Okay. Yeah, yeah. And Chief Tom Turner with the police department. I think Western Lane Fire and EMS is what I was trying to get out there. And
Tom, that's true.
And Tom Turner is with me as well. So good morning to all of you. And
good morning.
This is a new environment for us. This is a new paradigm. Hopefully it's just a short period of time that we'll have to deal with this. But let's start with Chief Schick. Chief, what kind of different things have you had to do differently as far as responding fire, responding EMS in this environment, the COVID-19 environment?
Well, initially, of course, it's protecting our responders. So, I mean, we have dispatch has been interviewing people to call 911. If they do have COVID-like symptoms, we have to have our people prepared to respond into that type of environment. So we're wearing a lot of gowns and masks and goggles, and then just making sure that our people are safe. And then down the road, we're thinking about what happens if, we have some of our personnel get sick. And we hope that doesn't happen, but I think we have to prepare for that. So we're ready to start moving people around to different shifts if we have to even them out. Just today, we've started 24/7 staffing with career firefighters. Normally, we have career firefighters on Monday through Friday just during the daytime hours, and then we rely on volunteers. But we're anticipating that, we may have some personnel that are sick and can't respond. So we want to make sure that we can, and so we have 24/7 staffing now. So those are big changes for us, but everybody's been coming up with some great ideas. And number one, I think it is just to keep our people safe.
Chief Turner, how about community policing? How has that changed? I've seen a couple of things like on Facebook where a guy gets stopped and he puts a sign in his window, just saying, I have COVID-19, try to ward off a ticket. But how has that changed in this environment?
We have a visible patrol, but we're doing very limited interaction. So if it's necessary, of course. But most of the time, what we're trying to do is keep that space between the people we're talking to and the officers, just like Chief Schick talked about, keeping our employees as safe as possible. We do have some kind of lore information that's out there that is just simply not true. We can talk about that in detail here in a minute. The main part is visibility as opposed to interaction. And that's what it comes down to, is we're trying to limit that personal contact. We've set up safety corridors at the Justice Center so a person comes in and out the same way so they can disinfect and try to keep anything out of the building and keep them as clean as possible. Obviously, our cars all have safety equipment and personal protective equipment in them that we'll utilize as we need on any given call. We're just trying to keep as clean and safe as possible. It's really a disruptive time for people. A lot of people are very nervous, and the interactions, we try to spend a lot of time explaining what's going on and what we're trying to do as we deal with the call, because it's a little bit different, obviously, than day-to-day calls.
Now, Aaron, as far as the incident command goes and WeLog's responsibility, you guys are meeting quite often, are you not? How are you disseminating information to the different groups there?
To talk about the West Lane Emergency Operations Group just a little bit, you see representatives from both the fire and EMS with Chief Michael Schick, and from the Florence Police Department, from Chief Tom Turner, and then, of course, you're hearing from me as city manager, and we represent the four main operations of WeLog, but we also have partners with the City of Dune City, the Port of Siusla, and the Mapleton Fire Department, Peace Health, Peace Harbor, the Confederated Tribes of the Coosa, or Umpqua, Siusla Indians Police Department, and then we have many other associates. And of course, have been coordinating in this crisis, because every emergency is driven by what the crisis demands. And for us right now, it immediately started with the schools, and knowing that the school children were going to be out of school for some time, and helping support and lift up the Siusla School District and the Mapleton School District. And then obviously through all of that, it's been triggered by a public health crisis. So we've also been working with Lane County Public Health, the Oregon Health Authority, and then, of course, the federal government. as they prepare for this virus as it spreads across the country. And so we've been meeting since 2007. We have an intergovernmental agreement, but for this crisis, we've been meeting since the beginning of March specifically. We first started weekly, just in a monitoring stage, and then officially stood up the Emergency Operations Center on March 20th. And the two chiefs that you're talking to here today were instrumental in showing the need and the urgency to get an Emergency Operations Center up and running before I think a lot of people were realizing the severity of the issue, at least here locally. So they are much to be thanked for that. The Emergency Operations Center is currently meeting virtually because, again, this is a very unique crisis for us. And usually you're able to say, here's the people impacted. Let's keep them safe. And then there's others who are not impacted by whatever the disaster is. And they can all meet physically and talk and respond, and all sorts of responders come in from all over the place, but we're all in this together and we're all at risk of getting this virus. So we are meeting virtually, just like we're having this interview with you, George, virtually. We're meeting virtually as an EOC with all of our partners. There's many moving parts. We're using an electronic platform, just like if you would think about a big whiteboard or a situational board in a meeting room where you'd see lots of telephones and computers. That's all happening at our individual desks over the phone, email, Skype, Zoom, etc. And so that's where we're at. We're meeting twice a week and talking all the time.
All right. Now, Chief, you mentioned Chief Turner, you mentioned some lore a little bit ago, and Wayne and I were talking on the air this morning about how kids in particular just don't seem to get it. And there's even some parents that are like, oh, yeah, your friends can come over. What sort of responsibility is there from the police department? Is there any kind of enforcement that we're doing in that? And then talk a little bit about some of the lore that's out there.
Well, on the first part, everything that we're trying to do is education and information. So sometimes people don't have access to that, or they haven't made use of it enough. And we can point them to websites. We can point them to different avenues where they can get information about what's going on. We have a lot of written material as well that we get from CDC, material that we can hand out to people if they want. Mostly, it's all education first. So we're trying to get people educated. We're trying to get this in a very prudent style of, you know, we got to get into this better mode. What I think is really, really obvious is that as the whole world, and particularly the United States, starts to come into this more seriously, I think people are getting the message. They're starting to understand what's going on. We saw less people in Florence over the weekend, as an example, compared to the weekend before. People are starting to understand the magnitude of this and the difficulty that we're facing. And, you know, with that comes responsibility. And we just want people to be responsible. We work on the parent first. We'll work on the kids individually and encourage them to do the basic things to protect themselves and mostly protect everyone else as well. I like the new ad system that the governor has put out. I like the messages on our highways about stay home, stay safe. Those are the kind of things that over time, it'll get more cemented in people's minds. As for the lore pieces, there was a huge information download of what I would call misinformation about people needing work papers, and that we're going to stop out-of-state plates, and that you had to have all these things in order, and that simply isn't true. We are not anywhere near that sort of enforcement, and we want people to stay safe and be careful, but none of that is true in our area, certainly. And maybe as these quarantines get tighter and tighter, maybe stuff like that will come into play.
So what you're saying is we can't stop the Californians from moving up here right now? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, nor anyone else.
Okay.
It's a very unusual time, but people really took that to heart. And oftentimes people are they're getting stopped for one reason or another, and they present these work papers that they got from somewhere, either their employer or the internet or whatever it was. And it's like, This is unnecessary. You don't have to do that. Or the accusation that I'm getting stopped because I'm from out of state. And that isn't true either.
Yeah.
That is just not a piece of it. So people need to look at that order carefully. They need to follow the information. And as of right now, there isn't any magnified or focused patrol or response to any of that. We're just trying to keep people safe, keep them where it's necessary. We have not had any large group gatherings, which they've had in some cities. If we had that, we would probably try to deal with that. But again, in a prudent, safe manner, and try to start at the lowest level and then work our way up if we have to.
Now, Chief Schick, is there anything on your end that you're hearing that's not true that you'd like to correct some information you might have heard out in the public?
Well, we're hearing a lot that, you know, we have infected individuals in the community, and, you know, that's not true. We're sure that it is going to happen at some point, but, you know, the information will be released from either the state or the county. I think people have to look at what they're hearing and what the sources are. And we'll be upfront. Of course, you know, the government will be upfront with everybody. We'll tell people if there are infections, if we do have people coming down with COVID. But don't panic at this point, and the information will be there, and they can be assured of that.
Now, I know that this might be more of a question for a doctor, because I know there are certain HIPAA regulations and things that are out there about sharing information and that, but what do you do in the case of an infected individual and you need to get the word out to people who might have come in contact with them without sharing that information?
And I might actually answer that question.
Okay.
Just because we really are trying to enforce in this case that this is a public health event, and the public health authority is Lane County. And so Lane County Public Health will manage all of that. So you will, as an individual, get tested if it comes to that through a triage system through your medical provider. That is who is going to determine if and when you're going to get a test. So call. Please call a medical provider if you're showing symptoms. Do not go in quite yet. Call in. Someone will take care of you. I know we have heard a lot about resources being limited. They are. That is true. But there are resources available to take care of people. And they are triaging every instance of care to make sure those who are the most serious are getting what they need. And then taken care of accordingly. So call your medical provider. They will determine if you need a test. From there, it all becomes a public health investigation per se. So hopefully we hope for negative tests across the board, but there are positives, as we know, and that is what Lane County Public Health is announcing on a daily basis. And all that information can be found on the Lane County's COVID-19 page. I really encourage people to watch press conferences. They are hosting them every day, 10:30. You can watch them either live on Facebook, or they're recorded and they're posted to Lane County's COVID press conference page. There's a button for that. And so they're managing it. I mean, this is like an investigation. So if you're positive, public health nurse is going to come in and take over. Of course, this is all done on the phone, and they are going to do a contact investigation. And this is where social distancing and staying at home and limiting your contacts is so important, because so far, all the positive cases in Lane County have been, I think, relatively simple to investigate. People have stayed home. They've limited their contacts. People are doing a really great job. And so that makes it easier to say, okay, well, I was in contact with this handful of people. And then that nurse does the investigation and tells each person what they need to do according to the regulations at that time. Usually that's a quarantine of some sort. And though, if you've been in contact with someone that's positive, you will know. You will be getting a phone call.
Okay.
And that's how it's going to work. And you were talking about HIPAA. You're right. This is a privacy thing. We're also protecting individuals. We know that people do things when they're scared and fearful that they might otherwise regret. So if that's broadly known who the individuals are, or if there's too much identifying information shared, you know, we have to protect those people so that they can heal in peace, whether it's at home or in a medical facility. Know that if you really are at risk and you have been in contact with that positive person, you will know.
Well, I know that Chief Schick and Chief Turner, you're very familiar with when, like, there's an accident or something, how somebody on Facebook has to go, oh, I know Joe, and Joe is my cousin. And so things like that, we need to keep out of the public. for the time being. I noticed that the Congressman DeFazio sent out a flash yesterday that FEMA was sending PPE, personal protective equipment, into Oregon in pretty massive amounts. How are we set here, not just for your entities, but overall? Obviously, we're a rural area, so we probably don't have as much resource as others, but how are we set for personal protective equipment?
From the ambulance and fire side, we have adequate supplies right now. Who knows how long this event's going to last, but supplies have been coming in. We received some supplies last week. I know we have orders in, so we don't want to be hoarding. I mean, we don't want more than what we really can use. Right. So we're trying to be very careful in what we order and what we're asking to be delivered. So I think right now we're doing fine. But again, you know, we look, you know, what's going to happen 2 weeks from now to make sure that we're supplied. So we're being very careful with our orders. But I think right now, I think at least from fire and EMS, we're doing very well.
And Chief Turner, yeah, you have some specific needs because of the jail and everything. How are you guys set?
Right. From the police side, just as fire and just as the city, we have adequate supplies. The thing that we're trying to anticipate, of course, where our future is going to be. So we're trying to accumulate more. We've made more orders through the county. That's how the PPE is supplied, is through the county system. And we make the requests and then the requests get fulfilled. Again, for this point in the pandemic, we've got the adequate supplies. As far as the jail goes, again, hygiene is a big piece. We've been very cautious about the people that we take into custody. And there's a matrix that they go through to decide whether or not to keep them. And primarily, we've been, again, cautious about housing, cautious about transport, because all of that can be a very high-risk piece. And we have more protective gear for the people working in the correctional facility as opposed to out in patrol. And everything from booties to eyewear to masks. And the thing that we're waiting to see, as we all are, is to see where the masks fall for protective gear. They're certainly protective in some instances. They may not be in other instances. And we're waiting to see, you know, where that information comes down. Because those are that's the thing that we're probably the shortest on, is those N95 masks. But at this point, as long as we keep the distance and we are cautious about what we do, we've been able to deal with that. And we do have some. It just depends on how intensive this gets in the near future.
Well, now, and Chief Schick, you mentioned the word hoarding, and maybe Aaron, you want to address this. You know, there's a certain sense there that if we had known a situation like this would have arisen, we might have had a larger stockpile, a little bit more in case of, and for another event that might come up.
You're right. Across the world, everyone certainly is learning a lot. There's a lot to learn. What we thought was great supply chain management and logistics and all these cool tricks we had for getting things quickly and not wasting space on storage, from groceries to masks. We're learning a lot. So we're not in this alone. The state of Oregon, as you said, from the federal government did do that flash alert about supplies arriving. And that's a perfect example of where the rubber hits the road of how this system's working. We are working within a massive system on all aspects of this crisis, including the personal protective equipment, the masks, and other necessary items. So the federal government from the state received a request. They fulfilled some of that. And from there, the state is managing that distribution of PPE across the state to all of the county emergency operations centers. And from the county emergency operations centers, they are working to fulfill the requests that they've received in from healthcare providers and other EOCs like ours, West Lane Emergency Operations Group. So, and then from the ground up, it's also a system. So like I just said, the locals are making requests to their EOC. Their EOC is forwarding it to the county to the state to the Fed, and then all the way back around again. And then lastly, we've heard a ton about masks. And yes, those N95s are in very short supply, again, across the world. But you can make some face masks, and Peace Health has asked to follow a pattern that's preferred. If you've already made them, we'll still graciously take them. If you're just now thinking about starting to make masks, we ask that you use this preferred pattern There's a link on our website, and I hear there are lots of resources out there for masks, and we're just asking if you can make them, please do. And then the last thing you can do is really follow those orders.
Stay home.
Yeah, stay home to save lives.
So, you know, best case scenario, this thing kind of stays, in, as far as Florence goes and West Lane, it kind of stays where it is now. We don't have any real big influx of what's going on. And maybe by some chance we do like some of the other coastal counties and don't get a case. That would be a best case scenario. Worst case scenario is it blows up like everything else. But I think that with the people that we've talked into not coming to the coast to spend time when they're trying to get out of the cities, I think that has been a big help, has it not, Chief Turner?
Oh, absolutely. When we initially had the large influx of people coming here to kind of continue their vacation and spring break activities, that just puts pressure on everyone as far as social distancing, as far as supplies, everything. This effort to keep people home is a much better alternative than moving people into different areas or different communities, because it puts the stress on those communities to deal with it. And this is a much more prudent stance to just stay in your home, try to stay healthy, try to keep other people safe, and particularly the first responders that are having to be out there every day regardless, and it keeps them safer as well. So these are all factors that people need to keep in mind and not utilize those things. And eventually this will end and we can get back to normal. But for right now, this is the best mode to keep this from spreading.
Now, Chief Schick, I've been watching the news in different states and in different cities. And it seems like anywhere there's been a shutdown, that there have been less need for responders to accidents and fire and things like that. Have you noticed any kind of a drop or maybe an increase in calls since this has been a little bit tighter kept?
Well, you know, it's interesting. We did see a drop in emergency calls probably for about 2 weeks. And then this past week has been very busy for us. So, again, it's really hard to predict. You know, we would think that, yeah, maybe there'd be fewer 911 calls, but it's going to be in a cycle. And I suppose once we start having more people with symptoms, it may go up again. But people shouldn't hesitate to call 911 if they do have an emergency. We'll be there. But right now it's been cycling. We did see a decrease, but now it's picked up again.
Chief Turner, how about crime as far as that goes, calls and stuff like that? Has that gone down, leveled off? Is it the same?
We still have calls for service. We've seen a little uptick in domestic violence calls, a little bit of reduction in day-to-day calls, which is really good. But we still have, just as Chief Schick said, you call 911, we'll respond, and we'll decide then and make the best choice of it. So we're trying to prepare for what the inevitabilities might be if this gets more pervasive in our community. And those are the things that are really hard to try and gauge as to where we're going. So far, been slight downtick in activity, uptick in just certain areas. And again, that's so hard to predict in just any way. It hasn't been consistent. It's been intermittently, we've had some very busy days. And then we've had some, luckily, unfortunately, some really slow days.
All right. Now, just quickly, we have to wrap this up. We're running out of time. I don't know. I think we've covered most of it. But, you know, certainly you all would like to maybe thank some folks who have been under the gun here lately. Please, Chief Schick, you want to start?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've been so impressed with all my staff. I mean, we're getting out there, filling the needs of the emergency needs of our population. So there's been no hesitation on their part. And also, I've been very impressed with the leadership in the community. I mean, we're working together, the hospital, the city, fire and EMS. It's been really exciting to see. It's unfortunate times, but, you know, I think the philosophy is we're all in this together, so we're going to help each other. So it's been very impressive to see that. WeLog has been doing exactly what we expected it would do. Helping providing services to our community and helping everybody succeed in very tough times. So it's been very impressive to see that going forward.
And Chief Turner, how about you thanking some of your folks?
same thing as Chief Schick just mentioned, our staff here at the police department, I've been so pleased with and so proud of. No hesitation whatsoever with any issues, and definitely out there to help. That's what they're ready to do. They're ready to deal with this however they need to deal with it, and we'll go forward. The dispatch has been another huge part. There's a lot of pressure that's coming in by the phone lines and a lot of stress, and the dispatchers have been wonderful. They have worked through this right now just seamlessly. Everything has worked well. Again, to mirror Chief Schick's mention of WELOG and the EOC and the city as a whole and all the employees there, is just been wonderful. We moved right into this incident command system, which has been in place for incidents, unfortunately, just like this, that we can easily put together the effort, and we've already been trained at this. So this is just adapting it to this new issue. I also want to thank the community, because the community has been really kind to us and has been as helpful as they possibly can. And I'm confident that anytime we ask, they're going to help. Our stakeholders as well. I couldn't be more pleased with the response. I have not had anybody hesitant ever to assist us at this point.
All right. Now, Aaron, you sort of talked with Joe Henry a little bit earlier, and did some. But if there's anybody you left out that you want to do a quick thank you to, please.
Oh yes, leaving people out is unfortunately an aspect that happens when almost literally every individual in our community is a hero in their own way. So it'd be impossible to name them all. But one big shout out is to the leadership that is supporting us to step up and fill these extra roles in the WELOG. We all have boards and elected officials that have given us the authority to move into these roles. That was part of our intergovernmental agreement. But it's one thing to say on a dotted line that you agree to something 15 years ago, and it's a whole nother thing to be doing this in real life. So we have just staunch support from our elected officials, city council, the three boards that Chief Schick reports to, the school district board, the library board, you name it, all the nonprofit boards. They are supporting their employees to go out and fight this battle on the front lines. And so you have to be able to thank them in some shape or form. So this is my thank you to our elected and appointed officials. Secondly, I think it's something that when everything goes well, you just don't even notice it. But in this case, it's an individual by individual communication bit that is occurring. So all that communication takes a lot of work to put out there and have a synthesized message. And again, it's not just here locally, but it has to be coordinated with the county and the state and the federal government. And so we have some really great messaging that's been going out. And I cannot underscore enough how important it is that we are taking the precautions we can to slow the spread of this virus. And think about every single individual action you're doing. And I thank everybody for doing that in advance. And I've seen it already happening. But just a quick reminder, a big thank you to our grocery stores.
Yeah.
Yes, they're essential. Yes, they're allowed to be open, but they are risking their lives to be out there and serving you so that you can be fed. And so please just take precautions even when you're going to the store. Try and reduce your trips. Don't hoard, but also supply yourself so that maybe you go once every 2 weeks instead of every day for that spice or thing that you forgot at the store. And when you're there, also take care of those around you. Those are your neighbors. Those are your friends. And you do have an active role in protecting their life. So keep some space. Keep your cool, be patient, and be kind when you are out and about. Just because you are allowed and it's legal to do those things doesn't mean you should leave your manners at the door. And then lastly, thank you to our public works crew. They don't wear uniforms. They're not very visible, but it is incredibly important that our water system is kept clean and that you have a place to dispose of your waste, whether it's through toilets, and then, of course, to our solid waste haulers, to our garbage companies. Thank you guys for all being out there and working on the front lines. You are appreciated, you are seen, and we are forever grateful for you.
All right, Chief Tom Turner, Chief Michael Schicht, City Manager Aaron Reynolds, thank you so much for the information, and we'll just keep getting it out there. So anytime something happens, just please feel free to contact us and let us know.
Thank you, George.
Thank you, George.
Next up on the April edition of Our Town, Bettina Hannigan. We're going to talk about the canceling of the 2020 Rhododendron Festival.